Attention Austin guitar players and bass players. Are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you, gang. That's Jason Swedberg over at J. Scott Luthery, and you can find him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I've been talking about Jason for years. Why is that? Because I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years. Not only does he do the best job, but he has the best prices and the fastest service in town. Again, find him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Not only is he doing an amazing job repairing and setting up guitars, he is now building guitars. That's right. He built me an SG Junior, which I have, and it sounds amazing. It feels great. It's the very first SG Junior he ever built. I've got a J. Scott Luthery SG Junior. You can go see him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Get a guitar built. Get your guitars fixed. Get them set up. It's time, man. They've been hanging on the wall all through COVID. Now it's time to get them out, get them fixed, and get out there and play. J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Let's get down. Hey, gang, are you a fan of podcasts and Law & Order SVU? Well, I have the show for you. The seminal SVU podcast, Munch My Benson, is the twisted love child of co-hosts Adam Schwitters and Josh Dugan, celebrating the splendid and often wildly inappropriate lunacy found only on Law & Order SVU. Each week, Adam and Josh walk you through a random episode of SVU, all while sharing their smart and hilarious insight. Find Munch My Benson wherever it is you stream your podcast, or go to munchmybenson.com for more info. That's Munch My Benson.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time. How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
When we talked. All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host, and welcome to the show. I'm sick. I've got the coronavirus. I tested positive on Wednesday for the illness. Now I'm quarantined for 10 days, and I'm super out of it. I'm vaccinated, so I don't have like massive symptoms. But I do have like a foggy brain. I'm very confused. I don't mean to laugh. It's not funny, you know, but, you know, it's fucked up because I got vaccinated. I spent like a year and a half, more than a year and a half, like being able to avoid getting it. Even when I wasn't vaccinated, you know, I was living a completely different life. I was sheltered. Now, you know, we went out, the genie got out of the bottle, and it's hard to put the genie back in because before, it seemed like the quarantine was in earnest. Like, everyone was like, oh, shit, there's a pandemic, so I'm going to lock myself inside my house, and I'm not going to go anywhere. Do I sound drunk? Do I sound drunk to you?
Kind of.
I'm listening to it on the headphones. I sound drunk. Have I sounded like that the whole time?
Mm-hmm. You sound funny.
My girlfriend also has it. It's going around, man. I'm telling you. Anyway, so what I was saying was the quarantine, we took it in earnest and we hid out in our houses and we didn't go anywhere. We didn't see people. We had a pod of people that we trusted. I had a couple people that I would go and do stuff with, like Gabriel Rhodes. We'd record. He was very serious about his quarantining as well and taking the virus very seriously. But once we got vaccinated, started hitting the streets again, started playing shows and living life the way that we used to, it seems like the second round isn't so much about quarantining, it's about like, well, how can I stay safe and not, you know, still go out and do my stuff? So I guess that's what we're all experiencing. I've been playing shows for the last couple of weeks. You know, I see people, you know, I saw a lot of faces and I rocked them all. Gang, I have a great show for you today. A great show. Andre Moran and Noel Hampton, the Bell Sounds, are back on the show today. I don't know if you guys remember, but back in June, we did a show together, my band and their band. We had a great time. Noelle came up and sang some songs, her and Emily Shirley. We had a great time. The band sounds great, but they are actually dropping a brand new EP called All About Love tomorrow, Friday, August 20th. Five great songs. The lead single, All About Love, amazing song. It's a collaboration with the great Lizzie Lehman here. Anyway, you know that the Bell Sounds released a single a month for like 12 months last year. And you're wondering, like, how can they just come back and put out, like, an EP? Well, once again, Noelle sat down, wrote five great songs. She and Andre sussed them out, at home and at the Congress House in the studio and brought in people like Danny Reich. And, of course, as I said, the fabulous Lizzie Lehman and Emily Shirley, and they got this EP done. It's absolutely gorgeous. The first single, All About Love, it's been out for a little while. It's a new disco song, great song. And Andre and Noelle and I have a great conversation about sort of the creative process, how the last year and a half has been. I think we talked earlier this year when they were releasing another single. I can't really remember. Can't remember much right now. And I'm sorry about that. And Noelle and Andre know I love them. And I'm sure they're bummed. I'm sure they're bummed I have coronavirus. Why am I even talking on a microphone? I've got to put this show out. That's why I'm doing that. And I'm scared that tomorrow I'll be even worse. So I'm not laughing. It's serious, but I'm bummed out. Anyway, what am I even saying? Guys, the Bell Sounds have a brand new EP. It's called All About Love, and it comes out tomorrow. It's fucking great. And it's produced by Andre and Noelle themselves, and they're a really lovely couple. They've been together for a long time, both in life and in music. And Noelle has really taken some creative steps and kind of changed the sound of the band over the last few years and really forged ahead into a sort of synth pop, one might even call it new disco world. Anyway, I'm super out of it. Thank you for listening, and I'm so sorry that, yeah. I don't know why I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm out of it. I'm sorry you had to hear me talk today. Andre and Noel, I love you. Sorry that I'm so out of it in the intro of your thing. I sound like I'm super fucked up. But without further ado, here are my friends, Andre Moran, Noel Hampton, The Bell Sounds. Let's get down. How are you guys doing? I know, right?
I don't know. I just felt like I just had to laugh at that question.
That's the way I feel too, man.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
I have to come home now from gigs every weekend with Skyrocket and quarantine until Wednesday when I get tested.
Oh my God.
So
oh my
I'll
God.
Be fine to go and expose myself the next weekend.
Oh man. I don't know how you're doing it, dude.
I don't either, man. I get like a little, you know, there's obviously like a lot of trepidation going on with that kind of stuff. You guys postponed your release show.
Yeah.
We did. We postponed it, but we don't know. Is it going to happen in late October? I don't know. I'm kind of letting it go as far as like, you know, I mean, it'd be nice, but I don't want to hold it like so preciously right now because nothing is in our control at all.
Yeah.
That's not a fun place to be, is it?
Not at all.
It would be nice if we could celebrate, but at least we got to celebrate with you.
Yeah.
At the 310.
I know. It's so weird because we were in such a different mindset on June 25th.
No, we were just talking about that last night of like this window where it was like kind of coming out of the, you know,
darkness,
the cave, and going, is it okay?
Yeah,
we can go out.
Maybe a false sense of security that we all were leaning on, you know. But it was so lovely at the same time.
It really was. It was. That was like the night that had the most freedom. Well, your EP is gorgeous.
Thank you. Thanks.
You guys have really like. This sound that you're going for has really like reached its you've realized the dream is what I feel like.
Yay! Yeah. I love that.
Cool.
I guess having like recording all of last year and writing and doing everything in an all new way, you know, everything you released last year was fantastic and it was great, but this has this new focus to it too, that it seems like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like an extension of what we started to do last year, you know. And I do think we built something really cool last year. As we listened to that as an actual album, I'm really proud of what we did, because we were releasing them as singles. We weren't thinking conceptually as an album. But when you listen down to that, to those 12 songs, I feel really proud, like as a collection of songs. And then I, you know, wasn't even anticipating to start again right away. I thought I was going to take a break, but, you know, joining Dave Madden's songwriting group every year starts January 1st. And so, you know, you're off and running right away. So on and on we went, and here we are with this EP. And I can tell you right now that I will be taking a break after this. I won't be taking a break of creation, but I will be taking a break of promotion.
It's yeah. I saw your post.
I think that's
today.
The harder part. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw your post today about, like, hey man, I'm putting out this album. Come on, guys.
I mean,
throw me a bone.
In the grand scheme of things, with Afghanistan and Haiti and COVID and you know, everything that we're fighting here in Texas against our government. Voter suppression, like, voter suppression, and Abbott's bullshit. Yeah. You know, it's a lot. So then I'm like, woohoo, check out our EP. Yeah. You know, it's sort of absurd, but at the same time, it's cool. And music does heal. And it is the one thing that we can just put on and jam and just feel good for, you know, 35 minutes, 40 minutes or whatever. So,
well, we all need a release, right? I mean, music's always been that for, you know, I mean, there have been dark times before, and that's actually when there's been some great music, because there's wars and people are like, oh my God, I just need to express myself, and I need to dance or whatever.
Right.
Thrash around.
Yeah. And there's a fine line between entertainment. Like, did you guys ever see Cabaret, the musical or the movie?
Yeah, sure.
Like,
yeah.
Nazis are taking over, and like, right, everything's going to shit. But these guys are like, hey, man, let's just keep on partying, man. It'll be great.
Yeah, come on.
Well, that's kind of why the music has taken the turn that it has for us. Like, as far as, even if it's a dark song, it just sounds really groovy.
Because
I just want to put that out. I was, a quote unquote singer songwriter, like, you know, for so long, writing these precious, heartbreaking songs to make people cry. And I got really bored of that and sad. And I just wanted to write some jams, you know, where people, even if they're like, what is this about? This sounds kind of dark. You're still like singing the catchy chorus and doing all that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's some levity in this EP. I mean, to really just explore love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also like, I could see that, like, in January, like, I could see, like, let's talk about love.
Basically, when it came down to it, after last year, you pretty much realized that your human connections are the only thing standing. You know, might as well hold on to them and observe them and look at them, you know. And, you know, plus I do watch a lot of TV, and that's how I write my songs these days. So, you know, a lot of that comes from that. Although there are two songs that are really based on our relationship, our personal husband-wife relationship. So that got in there.
How's that? I mean, I see you like physically touching Andre through this thing, which is very nice to see, to know that people can be together that long, go through a pandemic, be stuck together in a thing, make records together, play shows together, and still like, hey buddy, I
still like each other
while you're sitting there talking. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, that's kind of been our thing ever since we, like, our first year of dating, when we were like, we're never going to play together, it'll ruin our relationship.
Yeah.
To like all the years after that we've been playing together, we realized early on we're way better together. We're way better, like, doing everything that we can together. Just spending as much time together as possible always fuels our relationship. It always has, you know? So, and he's, you know, Andre is just like, most people that know us know Andre, and they know what kind of a solid dude he is. He's just like one of the most solid humans I've ever met in my life. And last year was really hard for me. I mean, you know, getting older, being at home, like weight gain, you know, just feeling like crap about myself all the time, just because I didn't have any input from anyone else, you know, just didn't have any friend zone time or anything. And, you know, he would come home and he would just say something really sweet, or like, tell me that I'm pretty or something. And, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot for me, you know, it meant a lot.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
I know that. I know you're talking about. Sometimes I walk by the mirror, like I go through my life kind of feeling like whatever, whenever I felt best about myself is how I look all the time, you know? And then you walk by the mirror and you're like, are you kidding me? That's what's going on.
Who's that?
I mean, really, it's for real. And every year that we have an extra notch on our life belt, it's a lot harder to turn the tables back. It's like, you know, we'd have to hire a personal trainer every freaking day to like get myself back to where I'm supposed to be. And I can't do that. Plus, it's hot. So screw it.
Yeah, dude, that's true. So new disco. I've actually heard that more in the last year than I ever heard it before. I like the idea of it. Yeah, because when last time I heard new before something, it was new metal, and that was just very upsetting to me.
I don't know. You know, I was just talking to Andre about the genres earlier today. It's so stupid because I went on to the Song Trader website to see if there was anything I could pimp our music out to actually make some money on. And they were like looking for alt pop music in the, and then they said, like this band, and they had a video. And so I clicked to listen to what that band was like. Well, they're like full on pop. So now they're considering alt pop to be just pop. So now it's like, what are we now? Like, I don't know what to say.
We're indie pop.
I don't know. You know, certain songs have a disco beat, so I call it new disco. Right. Certain songs are just kind of synthy, and then we call it synth pop or alt pop. I don't know.
I had these guys on earlier in the summer from Brooklyn, and their music is daytime disco.
Cool.
Wow.
Which whatever is like that means.
Specifically for a pool party. That's literally what the music is.
But we were talking about like, you know, bedroom pop being a genre, which is like, what does that really mean? Except, you know, the Billie Eilish kind of.
And I guess it means more lo-fi because.
Yeah, but
like,
it's not
but
lo-fi.
Technically, you see this room behind me. See, we're on a Zoom right now. Yeah, so yeah. Johnny can see the room behind us. Yeah. Well, this is my studio. So if anyone should be bedroom pop, it's us because I literally create all the music in this room. So.
Well, we do go to a real studio, but so did Billie Eilish. So yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, isn't it slightly wrong for us to be listening to bedroom pop by someone under 18?
Yeah, it's kind of creepy,
weird.
Right?
Yeah, something really weird about that.
Very voyeuristic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, I shouldn't be seeing this.
Yeah. So Noelle, all five of these songs you got from prompts in the Dave Madden songwriting group?
No. Well, some of them, yeah. Let me think about that. Four of them, I think. Diamond Eyes and... No, three of them. Three of them. And... let's see, Crush, and did I get Bloodline from there? I think so. I can't remember. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I wrote four songs, and we used some of them on this EP, and then I wrote All About Love later.
Okay.
And I think maybe Bloodline later. I can't remember. So.
And you wrote All About Love with Lizzie Lehman?
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
She's a really wonderful person.
I love her.
Very
and you know,
talented woman.
Yeah.
She's... just like so inspirational. And if you follow her on Instagram, you'll know like what an advocate Lizzie can be for, you know, LGBTQ, for body positivity, for all sorts of things, you know, always putting out positive messaging, always like just saying it's okay, hang in there, you know, do this, do that, like love on each other. And it just sort of helped get me through the pandemic to just witness how, you know, Lizzie was approaching everything. And we hang out a lot, you know. Lizzie and Kat live in my neighborhood, and so they're sort of part of my pod, you know. And so we were hanging out a lot, and I had produced that track to a certain degree, gotten it with a chorus and a verse. And then I thought, you know, I'm just going to ask Lizzie to come in and finish these verses with me and just add a little simple positive vibe on this. And I'm glad she did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a gorgeous song, and I love it, and it is a great pop song, too.
Thanks.
As far as, like, producing now, I mean, you guys produce together, and that, mm-hmm. So what, is that so? I mean, is there someone that handles one part of it, or someone that handles the other part, or whatever? Well, no, I know that you have become like a completely sort of like self-sufficient.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with Noel, you know, really fleshes out the track and logic with parts, and
yeah,
and she'll record vocals and harmonies and all this stuff so we can hear the song and everything. And then we export everything, pull it into Pro Tools, and then we kind of go, well, does this one need real drums or should this be the electronic drum vibe? Sometimes we'll replace sounds or tweak the sounds a little further. And then like guitars and vocals, we end up re-recording.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, we need another keyboard part here. We need this. And
so the thing that I'm doing at home is I'm constructing and writing the track at the exact same time, because I literally will like create an entire track of music and then decide what I want to write on top of it.
Yep.
So I've already produced, I've already played all the synth parts. I've already done all this stuff, laid down some, you know, little like electric parts and things. But then when it gets into the Congress House studio, or, you know, for this EP, it was at Congress House studio, the second half of it, then we really work together to kind of decide what stays, what goes, how to edit the things that I had created.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is efficient. Like you said, you know, this has become a lot more efficient to really flesh it all out and then go to the studio and not have to spend as much time where we know we want to recut bass with Greg, who is our bass player, or we want Emily to come in and do these vocals. We know exactly what she's going to cut. You know, there's not a lot of just effing around in the studio going, what should we do? Well, the clock ticks on your budget, you know. Yeah.
No, but you do have the luxury to do that on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because that's a huge thing.
Yeah, it is a huge thing, which is why it worked for 2020 to release a single every month, because it was just the two of us and then getting those individuals in one at a time to do their thing. So it was always very safe, you know, COVID-wise. It was always very safe, and it worked really well.
And you can get, you know, people to send tracks. So our buddy Evan, who's played on a bunch of our records, he has a studio in Nashville, so we can say, hey, can you put drums on this? And it'll send us a great drum track two days later, you know. So
like Danny Reich,
Danny
sent us
on
all that stuff for Crush. He did some really cool stuff and added some programming that, you know, to what I had already done. So it's an easy way to work, and you know, you just have to trust your people, send it on out and give it a shot, you know. Yeah, it's been fun.
It's funny, that whole writing and recording at the same time. I've done that for almost all of my whole thing, because when I was 15, I saw our friend Mark Hallman doing that, like writing these songs for that band we had, Cry Wolf, or it was his band, but like he would go in every day and he had like an 8-track reel-to-reel at that point. But he would find some, he would create a drum thing on a drum machine that made him feel something, start jamming around, sing something, and then lay out this song and then write this song to it. And that's what I thought that was a lot more normal than sitting down with an instrument and writing a song, because I was like, oh, it's super fun too. I mean, it makes it super fun.
I'm really jealous that you found that so early, because I really feel like I missed out of years of this way of writing, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not doing it earlier, but you know, I'm doing it now, but man, it's fun. It's so much more fun to create this way. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to encourage some of my friends, you know, who are a little bit reticent to like start the online recording thing, you know, especially, you know, people that have, you know, women that have relied on, you know, dudes to do a lot of stuff for them. And I'm trying to get my women friends to just like go, hey, I can take this far, or I can take it all the way. Like I helped Jana, and now Jana Pocop is just killing it on Logic and making some incredible stuff. And I've been helping some other women. I want people to feel empowered, because I feel so empowered, you know, to be able to create this way.
Yeah. That's the exact word. It's like, you don't need anyone else to show someone your whole idea. Bass, keyboards, drums, backing vocals.
Yes.
You can do it. You know what's funny, Noel? I was just talking to someone about this the other day, and Andre, I don't know, because you also teach at ACC, right?
I do.
You teach a recording. Do you find more women coming in now? Because what my thing is that I feel like, just from when I was a kid, I didn't know any girls that were given Tinker Toys or Erector sets. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So just from the get-go, our gender dictates if we're even going to be shown that avenue of like making things and being autonomous in your making it. Like, you know, with Tinker right. Toys and an Erector Set, it sounds weird, but you have an idea, you have the shit in front of you, and you build it.
Right.
You know, and females aren't given that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You don't have the encouragement early on to do that. And then I think what happens, you know, because I'm teaching a college class at that point, there's the intimidation, because I've seen this sadly, because, you know, usually my classes are like there's nine guys and maybe one woman in the class. And but, you know, some of the guys, because they're guys and they can be kind of jerky, and they'll be like, oh, the chick can't do it, you know, and like, or they'll try to mansplain something, or, you know, and it's like, don't do that.
No.
And so I could totally see for a woman going, I don't want to go in this class with a bunch of dudes that aren't going to give me shit, you know, and they probably end up some of my best students. If I said like, okay, you're my top 20 students I've had, that would be actually mostly women, or a lot of women. Like the percentage there would be totally flipped.
But, because when we decide we want to do something, we want to do it. Yeah. We want to do it. We don't want to fuck around. We want to really learn it. And you know, I still have so much to learn. It's absurd. You know, I need to upgrade my whole system. I want to get more stuff. I want to get more synths. I want to get more. But, you know, it's a process.
Yeah, it is. Andre,
and it's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who's so involved in all of that stuff and keeping up with how fast is the change in equipment, or you know what I mean? Like how quick does your stuff become obsolete? Like your,
I think it's about the same. You know, there's that weird like 2 to 3 years, and then you're like, I need to get a new computer. If you're really doing it, because there's new stuff all the time, right? That's just the way the industry works. Every year, every company's got us go, here's our new thing that we're selling and pimping. And but really, like, there's not like huge leaps and bounds in microphones. It's a lot of the same technology we've seen before. I mean, there are some great new mics, don't get me wrong, but it's actually kind of a more, I think, linear process.
But, you know, this whole thing is so cool because, like, you know, this isn't even a great mic that I'm using. It's okay, you know, but it works. Like Ray Prim asked me to sing on something yesterday, and he sent me the track, and 20 minutes later I had 8 tracks that I sent back to him. You know, it's fun for me to be able to like have that freedom to sing on other people's stuff super quick be involved with other stuff instead of waiting to go to the studio. Yes. Do studios suffer because of this? Yes, they do. They do. But we've spent a lot of money, and we've supported Congress House very, very well in the last year and a half. So.
You've also moved around too. And you did that one. Didn't you do a record at Church House at one point?
We did. Yeah,
we did. Uh-huh. Yeah.
See Within.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And we did one song at Danny's, but you know, the Congress House, while it's still standing, will always be our home. So,
while it's still standing, What a weird thing! I can't really imagine that not being there. It's hard for me not to think of it there.
I think we're in denial a little bit.
Oh, absolutely!
I know I am.
Yeah, yeah. And it also, it's been pushed back and pushed back, which is a good thing. But yeah, we will come to a day where we're going to be pulling all that stuff out of there, and it's going to be torn down, and it'll be some condos and that's
or something.
You don't know what we really need. Yeah. I was thinking when I was driving around Austin the other day, is what's really lacking more? Is condos.
More condos. Yeah. We
obviously need more.
There's just really not enough.
I agree. So we should find some more rehearsal spaces that we can tear down so that we can put more of those.
Yeah, gosh.
Exactly. Oh my God.
Do you guys rehearse at Congress House as a band?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's great. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, we've got it dialed in. Really, like, we've got it set up and can do it quick and it's easy. So
yeah.
It's also comfortable. You can make coffee in the next room. Yeah. So what's like, the band is going to stay the same if assuming this show goes through in October, and it's moved to October 23rd, just so people know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're in love with our people.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a great band. That's one thing I will say is that when somebody does something as electronic as that, it's hard to imagine how it's going to come off live. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and you guys really definitely managed to bring it into a live setting enough, but still keep its in. You know what I mean? Like there's live drums yeah. playing, but there's still yeah. the stuff that you heard on the record. So you're not like,
Yeah. That was a huge challenge. Andre's been like killing it for us on like trying to figure out how to do this. And we, you know, between our Roland SPD-X or whatever it's called. And then our, we have some tracks on there and Jim's playing to a click. And then we have triggers on his drums, triggering the electronic sounds from the record. So we have all that, plus, you know, we're all doing our synths and our things. So yeah, it's like playing live with a little bit of the tracks that just sort of make the thing sound more like the record, you know. We could do it the other way, but why? Like it's so we have the technology.
Well, and that's also yeah. that is also the way that the people that are coming up now do it. Like there's no
yeah.
like there was a point yeah. 20 years ago that if someone was playing to tracks, you'd be like, "What?"
Like, that's cheating
that guy. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, now it's the other extreme where, I mean, a lot of people, even shit. DJs and EDM artists, they're just playing a track. That's yeah. all they're doing, and maybe tweaking an effect or something.
Yeah.
I don't feel guilty about it at all.
Yeah, we are still playing.
I love it. I think it's so fun, and it's so fun to be up there and to feel like the 808s and the different things. Like it's so nice to feel and just hear that like 80s snare, you know. You know, it just gives me like all the feels, you know, from the music that we loved back in the day, so, and still love.
Was it a tough transition technologically to make that move on stage? Because I went to go see Max Frost at one of those Love and Light stream things outside where you watched it in the car. And that dude's computer went down on the first song and he had to run back and grab another computer.
Oh my God.
You guys have enough. It was just him on stage. So when that shit goes down, right. But you guys have a full band. So say if it does go down, you're still going.
Yeah, we could still play.
We know the songs and we can play with that.
Yeah.
But man, you just scared me with that. Now I'm like, no, we should never bring a laptop.
Because we've talked about that. That would be like the next step. Is like, well, let's just have a computer, and why is that so bad? But yeah,
now that you say that, tracks through a pad thing that will play
through Roland. Yeah. But that has failed us at rehearsal a couple times, or done something where like there's a ghost in the machine and Jim can't stop it, or can't, you know, he kind of looks at us and Andre goes, "Press the panic button." That's why there's a panic button.
Literally, there's a button that says panic. Big piece of tape pointing at it. You can see it. Like, you know, all else fails.
I feel like we're kind of just all pressing the panic button in life right now.
We all need a panic button.
I wish there was a giant panic button. I would just run my whole body right up to it and slam against it.
Me too.
Oh man.
So how long does that Dave Madden thing go on? Like a month or two, or 2 months, a year?
It's 2 months because it's 4 songs, 2 weeks each song. So yeah, 2 months. Yeah.
Do you find it harder to turn in the song on time the longer you have to turn it in?
No, I get to it right away.
You do?
Usually because like we talked about, I start creating a track and I don't know what it's going to be yet.
Right.
But at least by the time I figured it out, I'm 1 week in and I've like created this track that's pretty well developed. So now it's just the challenge of like, what the hell am I trying to write about in context with this prompt, which everyone, you know, struggles with. But I'm like, I'm on my game on that thing, man. It's so much fun to have that challenge. And even as exhausted as I was in January, it was just so rewarding to feel like I still had it in me, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of going, I just did 12 songs and never stopped in 2020.
No.
But here we are.
That probably got you through 2020. I mean, you always had something new and some, like if you weren't recording, writing, mixing, mastering, you were promoting, doing artwork.
Big time.
Yeah.
And it's funny how quickly a month goes by. Cause there was this cycle because it's like, all right, we have to be finishing up this song as the song was being released, whatever song was coming out, it's like we're finishing up the one for next month. Mm-hmm. Like, so I don't know. It was just an interesting cycle that we kind of just got ourselves on.
Yeah. But it sure made the year fly by.
It did.
Yeah.
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 And you know, it gave us tasks. It gave me, mm-hmm. gave me Focus. A lot of tasks because, you know, when you release a single every month, you have to also write a press release every month or update your website every month and do all the link trees and all the things have to change every single month. Yeah. So, you know, people think it's like, oh, that'll be fun. Well, just be prepared if you're going to do it because it's 18,000 times the amount of work, you know, but.
Well, let me ask you this because you really did throw yourself into this because I did a little bit, but I didn't release 12 singles in a year, but we have moved from a place where like now you're releasing an EP, but like, would you release a whole record anytime soon? Or do you think that method of delivery is too much for people to handle at once?
I think
we felt that way with The Sea Within, which was the last full length.
Yeah.
Cause we, you know, went in and did it and the whole thing and the order and the art and boom, and you put it out there and you're like, wow. And then it was just kind of like this big letdown because,
well, I mean, yeah, to a certain degree, but it still got great, you know, response, but you wait. That's the problem with the whole record.
Yeah.
You wait to have all those songs, you
yeah.
know, whereas this way it's like immediate gratification for fans and for us and for you. Right. Yeah. Right. Johnny, I'm sure you felt that way too. It's just like, we're done. Let's put it out. Yeah. We're done. Woohoo.
Yeah.
I think we would probably do EPs or singles
right
now for the next foreseeable future. We'll see.
It's weird. It's weird that people have a different kind of connection with music now. Like generally,
yeah.
The whole, you know, there's still people that have like they're still super fans that want to take it in. Like, mm-hmm. but do you find yourself taking in music like you used to, or is yours a little bit more detached mm-hmm. than it once was?
I can't remember the last time I sat down and listened to a whole record. I mean, I know I have recently, but it's...
I do more.
Yeah.
I do a lot of... I have more time in my day to split up, or if I'm like working out or on the bike or something, then I'll listen to things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been really in like the exploration on Spotify and, you know, finding that through that and that through that. And so, yeah, I listen to records still and I still love them, but I do get a little impatient now. Like I find after like six songs, I'm kind of wanting to switch it to something else, even if I really like it, you know?
Yeah. I found it funny that you said that, Andre, about not having listened to a whole record. The only reason that I've listened to a whole record is when I'm listening to it for the show or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized, like, in the beginning of June that I hadn't been listening to whole records at all. Like, I couldn't remember the last time. Even if I put on vinyl, I'll just listen to one side or something.
Yeah.
So I started making myself listen to a record every day. Like, when I started making dinner... Till I finished dinner and cleaned up, I would listen to a whole record or, you know, finish it out. Like,
well,
that's great.
I'm starting to connect with that part of my brain. You know what
I mean?
Yeah, if it's dulled.
Yeah.
Well, didn't y'all do that record club thing last? Was that last year?
Yeah, so last year in 2020, you know, in the beginning, I was like, just had this feeling that we should do this record club, you know? And so that really helped because, you know, it was like everybody got, well, I wish everybody got a chance. There were too many people, but, you know, sharing an album that they wanted everybody to listen to, like a book club, which I think is really a cool idea because there were a lot of them that I wouldn't have listened to otherwise, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't a genre that I love, but who cares? It was a cool, you know, cool records thrown up there. So,
yeah. There's a lot of...
Yeah, I like your idea.
Yeah. Well, it was just weird because I was like, I don't do that. Like, well, how can I expect someone else to do it when I've gotten out of the habit of that? And you start thinking about even like, you know, in the early 2000s and stuff, you went to a store and you bought a record and you brought it home and you put it on, you listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Multiple times
if you connected. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a thing for me. And I know other people feel this way with, we love Tom Waits, you know, but every Tom Waits record I've ever listened to, it was like, you had to listen to it five times before you really could make a, like, do I like this record? Sure, I'm not sure. And, you know, you'd listen to it again. And then some of my favorite ones were ones I probably listened to 10 times before I went, oh, this is brilliant. Yeah. You know? But first listen, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. There's a lot of that. You know what's funny too is I've been talking to some labels that are popping up here, like Descent Records, Space Flight Records, and mm-hmm. these guys are like starting this new, it almost seems like they're bringing back the spirit or whatever Sub Pop and those kind of labels had at the in the late 80s and stuff, like to be able to sort of like develop bands and so, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, I don't know. I'm always wondering, like, I'm constantly wondering if it's over. You know what I mean? Like, is this over? Like, should I still be doing this?
Yeah, man, at this point, I'm like, should we be living in Spain or something?
Exactly.
I mean, will anyone miss us? You know, I mean, we have a song on this EP called The Bloodline, which is about the fact that we don't have kids and that we're perfectly fine with that. And I think it's maybe one of the only anthems that's ever been written for child-free people. Because it truly is, like, the chorus is, like, super jam, like disco-y jam about yeah. that. It's like, it's been a party, but we're out of here and we're burning it down as we yeah. go. Like, yeah. watch us go yeah. and you won't miss us and we'll leave our songs behind if that's really something you want from us, but right, we're out, right. man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
Mic drop, exactly. Exactly.
I know, purposefully, it's the last song on the EP just to leave you with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because, like, I keep thinking in teaching audio, you know, most, let's say half the students I get have never recorded a real instrument. They don't know what real drums are supposed to sound like, you know, and it's like, well, that's where the technology is. You don't, kind of what we were talking about earlier, you can get a program. It, you know, it's got a good piano sound. It's got good drum sounds. It's got all these things. I mean, you know, is recording dead, you know, in terms of like recording the way it used to be, of recording bands and all that kind of stuff. So,
but you know, Andre was talking yesterday about like kind of the lack of rock bands these days, you know, like real rock bands. But, you know, Bono's son has this band called Inhaler. Have you ever heard them?
No.
They're really cool, man. And they knocked Olivia Rodrigo off the charts in Europe with their record.
Really?
And it's just like, it's like kind of Strokes meets like early U2.
That's cool.
You know, it's really cool. It's just like rock and roll, you know, kind of like your like Endochine or something back in the day that you guys were doing, like beautiful rock and roll, you know? And so it's kind of nice to see that, you know, people are still responding to a band getting up on stage and just rocking out and playing their instruments. That makes me feel good too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something romantic that I'm attached to of the recording process, in the, just the simple thing of capturing magic as opposed to carving out perfection, like people doing something in a room and you got it. They hit something that they wouldn't normally hit and they can't hit it trying to consciously. There's just magic happening in a room and you fucking recorded it.
Yeah. You know, which I love. I mean, that's what I love about recording and I still love it. It's just, I wonder like how many other people love that.
Yeah. We had Dan from Texas Gentleman and, you know, he came and played on the song All About Love. And cause we needed like a synth solo on that one and I wasn't going to try it. And Emily was like, so we got Dan to come in and man, he just killed it. But it was that feeling in the room, just watching him do takes of it, you know, because Barbara Frigere was there and we were all just like, yeah, oh, do it again, yeah, you know, and just seeing his joy on his face and all of us just going, that was it, you know.
Yeah, but he's like doing the mod wheel thing and playing with the filter. And you know? So it really was a performance.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It wasn't
so
just,
cool to watch him. And he's just such a badass. So, yeah.
I said, Barbara, you guys did. I love those photos that you guys did. I love Barbara's work.
Oh, she's so talented.
Oh, she's magical. Yeah. And Dancy Jenkins is killing it too. That's Dan's project. And Barbara makes all the videos for him, which if you haven't checked them out, they're so entertaining.
I saw her a few weeks ago somewhere, but I'd missed her band. She was playing in a band where everyone dresses in like matching jumpsuits or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cool. with jazz and Phoebe Hunt.
Oh, really?
I think they're called Buffalo. I think it's Buffalo Hunt, right? Yeah, that's what Jazz that's
exactly what
Mills
it's called.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Sexy ladies.
Sexy ladies out on the street. Make it up.
So I love me a female bass player too, by the way.
Me too. I want more females. I want more females in the technical part of this.
Yeah.
Did you guys know Angel M, right?
You know, not personally, no.
She's really kind of taken off on that level.
Yeah, definitely. But she's in LA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just listening to something and I was like, oh, she was involved.
Yeah, she produced.
Oh, the AJ.
Oh, AJ, the Ali and AJ record. Yeah, she had to do with that. And that record is, that's one that I listened to top to bottom. And it's great.
I did listen to that record.
Yeah.
That's a great, like easy. That's they literally made the record for like a road trip going somewhere fun. The whole album is about that. So, yeah.
So you're going to do this show at Captain Quack's, hopefully, if it happens. But then what sort of is the rest of your year without the pandemic limitations on it? What is your dream rest of the year?
Everyone to be thoughtful of each other and for our community to find its way back. And I'm not booking shows right now other than the one we have. And we also are like hoping that the Empire Skunk Fest gets rescheduled for later this year, which we were going to be a part of at Empire Control Room. So maybe that'll happen in November or something. And then, you know what, man, I just think like if something comes our way and everybody is able to go out again, we will join for sure. I want to play more with the band, but if not, we're going to keep on rehearsing and staying on our game, for ready for whatever comes our way, you know, and maybe the two of us can play another show together.
Yeah. When we play together, it's in a great time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had the magic juju.
We did. We got it in the right time. And it's funny. It's so funny because we had the thing where, when we booked the show, we were still in the thing some. And so there was like this whole, there's limited capacity. Everybody has to wear masks. And then by the time it got to our show, it was like freedom. And it was like, don't worry about it. Everything's cool. But when Skyrocket booked our shows, it was already in May or April when it was cool. There was like no parameters. And then, by the time the gig came around, it was like, you know, we on like straight up, like we sold those shows out and no one got refunds, but 55% of the people came.
Oh, wow. Oh, so wow. It was kind of a win-win.
A 45% stay home. Yeah. And that was the funny thing was like, there was somebody in our band was like, no, it's okay because a lot of people are staying home. We're like, those are the ones that would wear masks at the, the people that are coming are the ones that are like, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, you know, we haven't booked the other band yet for our redo show on October 23rd, because I was thinking also to maybe approach them and say we would do two shows in a row.
That'd be great.
And have limited capacity. And if we don't end up doing that, Robert Harrison's probably going to do that show with us. But I think we could just do two back-to-back hour and a half or something, and then that people can split it up. So that might be cool.
Maybe the Skyrocket guys will hear that, because I've been trying to sell that to those guys for years. Like, why can't we just do two shows? Like, let's turn over the house. Let's make twice as much money, dude.
Yeah, in one night, definitely.
But nobody wants to play that long. But in the public show thing, what if we did two shows, it would be as long as we played a private show. That's why I'm always like, I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially if you're kind of playing almost the same set with a few different songs, you know, and plus there would be people that would stay and want to see it just again anyway, you know, pay twice. Why not?
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed that's cool, and I don't know if you guys have noticed, our show was like at a nice hour of the night. Have you guys noticed like shows are like early now? There's like, they're kind of like the midnight start thing isn't really a thing anymore.
Man, I wish we had literally daytime shows all the time.
See what I mean about that style of daytime disco? Maybe
yeah.
Maybe we should collaborate on a daytime disco song.
telling you, man.
Those daytime Saxon shows we did for a while were really great. The only weird thing was coming out, you know, it was 4 in the afternoon. You open the door, you're like, oh my God, what is going on? But
especially, you know, the Saxon pub, because that is a, yeah, once you walk so in dark. There, it's like 11:30 at night.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so but true.
God, we had some really good shows.
I don't want to play late shows anymore. Yeah. Honestly, it's just not worth it. You know, the latest I would go to a show now, if like someone was playing that we knew, would probably be like 10:30, maybe 11. You know, you wouldn't see my ass at a midnight show. You're never going to see me there. Just like I'm done. Now I'm done by 12:30. I'm old, man.
I went to one at the beginning of June. Like somebody's midnight show. And it was so hard to hang out at your house at like 10. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's the hard part.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one thing if you're already out and you're like, oh, wow, it's 11 o'clock, but it's sitting at home until 11 o'clock.
But you know what, Johnny? I'm not kidding. Like, if you think about, I'm not kidding about the daytime show thing, because if you think about our town and the venues that we have, especially in fall, winter, and early spring, when the weather is like something you can deal with. If like places like Empire, Charlie, you know, I mean, Trip Charlie's, yeah, all the places, you know, Far Out Lounge, if everyone was having daytime shows, you could see so much more music, and it would be so cool to just like start shows around 1 p.m., 2 p.m., kind of brunch, you know. I just think it would be amazing. I would love it.
Me too.
I hope they do.
I hope they do too. But I wonder if we're just like older and like kids are like, why are you starting so early?
Well, okay. So they can come at 3 p.m. when they wake up.
Yeah.
But look, if the Bloody Marys are flowing and, you know, everybody's got, you know, their day drink on, which Austin loves to do, you know, everyone will be having a good time. So,
yeah. Well, guys, this EP is incredible. And you guys are an incredible production team, and you've really, Noel, been a real inspiration. So have you, Andre. But you're sort of like pushing yourself last year and being so hyper creative and doing all that stuff, and just it was very inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, and I hope we get to do some more shows together, because I had a really good time and I thought it went well together.
Yeah, I loved playing with you.
Yeah, that's, y'all sounded great.
Yeah, your band sounded phenomenal. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you for singing with us. You guys did such a great job.
Hallelujah.
I
love it.
Well, I love you guys. People,
it's
get out there.
It's all right. We love you, Whitney Houston.
That's all right, baby. Whitney Houston. All About Love, the EP, will be available Friday, August 20th. The single All About Love is available beforehand. It's available now. So people can go. People go to thebellsounds.com to find out what's going on. And question mark by Captain Quacks on October 23rd. Have you guys been there real quick before I haven't been there yet. It's the old Strange Brew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks cool.
It's supposed to sound really great in there. So
yeah,
good. The old one sounded good. The old Strange Brew. All right. Well, hopefully we'll be able to make it out to that and people will be able to see you and we'll be back in safety land. And I love you both. Congratulations.
Love you.
Love you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Deep in devotion, seduced by emotion.
Noel Hampton and Andre Morand, The Bell Sounds. Their new EP, All About Love, drops tomorrow, Friday, August 20th. Go to thebellsounds.com for all of your Bell Sounds needs. Great, great, great EP. This is the song Crush that you just were hearing. You're going to hear the rest of it in a minute. I'm still super out of it. Thank you for listening to the show. Hey, do you guys ever think about leaving comments? Leave some comments every once in a while. Give us a 5-star rating. This is how I cost you. And don't forget, gang, new shows all the time, dropping all the time. All the time. Like raindrops from the sky. I'm sorry. I'm just recording this for posterity. So like 5 years from now, I can be like, remember when you did that intro on coronavirus and outro? Let's go back and listen to that. That's fucking crazy. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, all the places you find podcasts. New shows falling like rain from the sky. Here's the rest of the song, Crush, from The Bell Sounds. I want to thank Noel and Andre for putting up with me talking in this intro and outro. And also you. And hey, you know what? Have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. And stay safe out there, seriously. Like, wear a fucking mask. If you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. This is crazy. I'm vaccinated and I got coronavirus. Here's the rest of the song, Crush, by The Bell Sounds. Have a great day. Let's get down.
You feel like your heart is on fire. Yeah.